Word of God says that the goodness and the mercies of the Lord are renewed every day. Amen? I want to remind you that the Lord says that His mercies are new every day, praise God, so that we can be blessed, so that we can walk in His goodness. You know, the Bible declares unto us that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad, and we can be glad and we can rejoice, because if the Lord makes that day, He's already committed to give us whatever is needed to help us get through anything that we experience in that day. Amen? So we got to remember that we're not on this journey by ourselves, but we're blessed by the grace and the goodness of God. In Him, we live, move, breathe, and have our very being. And this morning, we just want to worship God and give Him our hearts in an open space. Amen? Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Are we ready to worship the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. Lord, we give you glory. You're worthy.
I was buried beneath my shame. Could carry that kind of weight. It was my tomb. Till I met you. Now it's breathing, but not alive. And all my failures I try to hide. It was my tomb, yes, till I met you. You call my name.
are you.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come now. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. You're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come now, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you will fill me. I'm here and I know you will fill me.
Coming into this place. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you. Worthy. So worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are worthy.
I'm living proof of what the mercy of God can do. If you knew me then, you believe me now. He turned my whole life upside down. He took the old and he made it new. It's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. And I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of his blood.
Thank you for your blood, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus.
I thought I deserved to be 6 feet beneath. For all the things I've done, the things I've said, choices made that I regret, oh, I would still be lost. Yes. But for the mercy of God, now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of his love. And I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. The cross meant for me that my Savior carried. Now I've been made free.
Woo! Come on! Yes!
Was the grave meant for me where my sin lay buried? Now I stand redeemed by the mercy. Was the cross meant for me that my Savior carried? Now I've been made free by the mercy of God. Was the grave meant for me where my sin lay buried? Now I stand redeemed by the mercy of God. And mercy and the power of his blood.
There's none like you, Father. Worthy are you.
Jesus, hallelujah. We exalt you, Lord. Hallelujah. We declare your glory and your goodness. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We had the teen event yesterday. How did that go?
Amen.
Good? You guys all have fun?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Did you win everything? Did you win everything you played? You're not a true Wade. I'm telling you. Wade is my name. I'm the best athlete of this family, obviously.
Oh, my. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
How good is God? Is he so good? Amen. Amen. Let's give him a praise.
Amen.
Amen. Shout hallelujah. Lord God, you are worthy. I just feel his presence. Amen.
Amen.
He is so good. So we have got a church harvest party coming up on October 21st at 5 o'clock here at the church.
Amen.
We'll be outside doing stuff. There's going to be games for the kids, food for the adults.
Amen.
And the kids.
Amen. Praise God.
I'm playing the games, too. I don't care. If any of you know me that go to the women's, just ask any of the women that go to the women's Christmas party. We maybe get a little intense about games. We love games.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And speaking of the women's Christmas party, that will be the first Saturday in December, and it will be at noon. So we're going to start at 12. And then women, we have our women's breakfast / Bible study coming up the first Saturday of next month. So not this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday. Am I right?
Amen.
That's unusual. Usually I'm not. Candace will be bringing the Bible study.
Amen.
Amen. We're
God.
Excited
Hallelujah.
About that. She gave me the title, and I thought, oh, yeah, that's going to be good.
Amen.
So we invite all you ladies come out. It's a breakfast. But you don't have to bring anything unless you're the people that volunteered for this breakfast. Because what we do is the ladies get together and decide. We have a list of ladies who volunteers for making the breakfast, and then a list of ladies who wants to bring the word. And so every month a different lady brings the word, and it is amazing. It gives us different perspective. It gives us hope.
Amen.
Amen. It shows us that we're not alone. Everybody struggles. And that you have a support system that you can go to, and that they'll pray with you. Amen?
Amen.
And so the food is always good. We've never not had good food. We almost mixed with the men, almost. Like we were this close to mixing with the men. Did I say that it's 8 o'clock? Oh, that's important. We have to move it up to 8 o'clock, okay? So it will be 8 instead of 9 just this month. Yes.
Amen.
Amen. What you got?
Well, the only thing I want to say is that on November the 5th, we're going to start a men's three-day fast. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that's going to be a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! And so we're actually going to be meeting here Sunday night at 6 p.m. and then Monday and Tuesday at 7 p.m. We're going to have meetings right here during our fasting period.
Okay, I got a question. It's because I know how Bach. Is this an overnight stay kind of fast?
Some of us will probably be staying overnight.
Well, I think that's important information
Amen.
To give out. And if
Hallelujah.
You have any questions on that, you can come and see Pastor and Amen. He'll give you the info. Or do you have a backup, a second?
Yeah, but if you cannot.
Do you have a second person that's helping you with this?
Hallelujah.
No? Jason, are you coming to it? Can I assign you to be his second? And so go to Jason if you can't get to Pastor Phil. We can't just have him because sometimes he's not available, right?
Amen.
So you got to have somebody available to come.
Amen.
Goober.
Thank you, baby.
You're welcome.
But we're going to have
you back.
We're going to have a great time, and we'll have some meetings focused on some things and some significant principles that we just want to finish the year with mm-hmm. and carry into next year.
That's awesome.
And we just want to be leaders for our families and for our communities and for those who we impact. So we're just going to set some time for God and set some priorities with him. And it's going to be a great time for us to fellowship together, both here and then throughout those days that we're setting aside meals for his goodness. Amen?
Amen.
Praise
God. And ladies,
Hallelujah.
I'm willing to do it overnight with you guys too, to do a prayer. But you have to tell me that you want to do that. Because it tends that women aren't as much apt to stay overnight and do the prayer. Not everybody needs to, but I'm not staying by myself in here.
Praise the Lord.
I know Jesus is with me, but I'm not staying by myself. So if you would like to have something similar, my heart's all for it. I just want to know that it's something you want to do. Amen?
Praise
okay.
the Lord. Hallelujah.
And Marie is my second for the women's thing. So if you have any questions ever about the women's thing, I wouldn't even say she's my second. She's the first. Go to her, and she can answer questions too. I think
praise
that's it for me.
Amen.
Can
praise
I leave?
The Lord. Yes, babe.
Praise
God.
Be.
Amen. Praise God. I wish you'd ask me questions like that at home.
You know what? If
praise
I ask
Lord.
You questions like, can I leave? You say, no, where are you going? This year for vacation, we're going to do something a little different. And I'm going over 2 days earlier than he's going over. Ladies,
mm-hmm.
you know how
Amen.
Awesome that
praise
is.
The Lord.
And he about busted his gut because of that. So he don't want me to say, can I leave?
Praise the Lord. Okay, this morning we're going to let the children go to children's class. Hallelujah. Amen. And the teens are going to go and be blessed, and the Lord's going to touch their service today. And then we're going to take just a few minutes, you know, to give our offering. You know, the Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And what I want you to know is also in another scripture, the Lord says that there are those who were at that time concerned about their tithing, which was very good, but they just weren't concerned about the other things like mercy and judgment. And he said, you should have done the tithing, but not leave those other things undone. And so I want you to know that this is just a part of your fellowship with the Lord. What we want to do is make sure that we have God first in every area. And certainly when we're doing our giving, we want to honor God first in our giving. And also, we want to make sure that we honor him because it's a demonstration of our trust in him, our faith in him. When we release something in the storehouse, which is what the church is, and when we release something into God's hands, we're allowing him to put his touch on it. You know, I believe that Regina and I have lived above what we would have lived if we had just done a natural assessment of trying to do our budget without any tithing and giving and any faith in God. You know, I can go back and just tell you significant times where the Lord moved on our behalf. And I got to tell you, I've been hearing testimonies of God just releasing into people's lives and giving and doing and moving things for them because of his goodness. And I want you to know that the Lord will do it for you. So as we give this morning, if you are giving for the first time or just starting this journey of giving, I just want to encourage you, start where you are because God will bless you. Amen? And if you've been on this journey a long time and giving faithfully, you already know and have seen the verification of God's goodness in our life. Amen? Hallelujah. He says that when we give, it will be measured back to us. And we can all attest to the times that God has done something great on our behalf. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just open our hearts in this area, Father. Lord, I'm reminded in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where we were encouraged to even prepare our offering even before we came to the house, Father. And Lord, I just thank you that you're touching people's heart in this area, Father, and that you're providing this for them in this area. You're opening the windows of heaven. You're rebuking the devourer on our behalf, Father, and you're helping us in every area of life, Father. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Huh? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to get into the Word of God today. And before I do, this was not in my sermon notes, but I just want to open it up for a minute. You know, we just sang a song, and one of the lines in that song says, I give you permission. You know, and sometimes when we think about God and His authority, if we're not deep in our relationship with Him, we might misinterpret a line like that and wonder, well, how do I give God permission? But you have got to remember that the Word of God says that the Lord stands at the door and knocks. But each of us must open our heart and let Him in. Amen? The Bible also says this, that if you ask the Lord, amen? Another scripture says this, you only have not because you ask not. The Bible says, seek the Lord and He will be found. I want you to understand something. You have got to understand that you have to orchestrate and facilitate the opening of your heart for your relationship with the Lord. Amen? Another scripture says that the Lord is near us. And sometimes if we're not careful, we forget that the Lord is right there available to us. But we've got to make sure that we stop ourselves and open our heart and move Him into our situation. Amen? And so this morning, with that being in mind, I just want to take us through some things in the Word of God. And the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to start in Proverbs chapter 3. And it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, the Bible says in another scripture that the way of man leads to destruction. In other words, if you build things out of your own foundation and out of your own strength, even that which God has given you, you will cause it to be destroyed instead of fulfilled. I'll never forget one time that the Lord gave me a great promotion, and I had prayed and fasted to be promoted, and the Lord gave me a promotion that 23 other people were in line ahead of me for. And when I received that, I knew it was the will of God. I knew God had helped me. But I got to tell you, as soon as I got through those first few days of glorifying God for helping me, I went into my own energy of trying to work. And I was working extra hours, which, praise God, God will strengthen you to do. And I was doing all these things. But I got to a place where I was so stressed that I would wake up in the middle of the night and could not even go back to sleep unless I prayed in the Holy Ghost or read scripture, and I still wasn't asking God to come into my day-to-day work life. And I was just working and working and working, and it was actually on Regina and I's anniversary. I was driving into work, and all of a sudden the Lord reminded me that the Lord Himself said, I can do nothing without my Father. And I went, man, here the Lord has given me this job, and I've not one time prayed about it in the last since I've had it. I've not given it to Him. I've not included Him. And I got to tell you, from that time forward, I always had my Bible at work anyway. But from that time forward, I would go to work early in the morning, and I'd start my day in the Word. I'd read it at lunchtime. And I got to tell you something. The minute I started asking God to help me in my work day, you would not believe the things that begin to happen. Things smoothed out. Things started going real well. The departments I was working in started rising to the top. And I got to tell you something. The Lord actually started opening doors for me to witness and to pray for people and to do all kinds of things because I opened my heart up to Him. Praise the Lord. And this morning, I want to encourage you in this area because we're going to get into something that is very simple, but also very deep. And I want you to know that this is just such a critical place in our life and such a critical truth about our life and about our relationship with God that I just want to remind us of this simple but most critical foundation of who we are this morning. And it says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I want to remind you this morning that we have to make sure that we understand what we're releasing and why we're releasing it. I want you to understand something, that this isn't founded in just the idea of, hey, what we speak, but it's based upon the whole foundation of who we are. I want to go to one other place here, and then I'm going to explain this just a little bit to us. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, it says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account therefore in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. What I want you to understand here is that, remember, the Bible says this, that the word of God, when it goes forward, it will not return to us void. And what we have to understand here is that when we're walking in our relationship with God, we've got to make sure that the word of God is in us and in our heart, and the word of God is the basis of how we live our life and what produces the fruit of what we have to say. See, this wasn't just about, hey, what I say in a moment of time. This is about the fact that we need to live our life out of the foundation of God. And when we start to speak, people should be able to hear that what we speak has a reverential basis in the foundation of what God has for us. You know, there are many things that God has given to us, whether it's our salvation, whether it's our family, whether it's our marriage, whether it's our work and our vocations and our jobs. All of these things in the scripture have a foundation in God giving it to you. You know, the Bible, when it comes to work, says, work is unto the Lord. Not just for the people that are good around you, but the Bible declares that even when you have a froward, mean boss, even when you have someone that's cussy and fussy and demanding, you know, the Bible says that if we work as unto the Lord, which means we keep our integrity, we keep our attitude right, we work with honesty and integrity and goodness, the Bible says that the diligent shall prosper. Praise the name of the Lord. I want you to know, I'll go even further than that, that sometimes you need to realize that you're in the places God has you in so that you provide a foundation for other people to be blessed. Remember when Abraham went to the Lord and said, Lord, if there be just 10 good people, the Lord says, if there's 10 good, I will not touch the city. Praise God. You know, it's funny because whenever I've worked at some place, I've not been afraid to tell people, hey, as long as I'm here, you're going to be blessed. Praise God. One time they started talking about closing our facility, and they said, Phil, what do you think about this? And I said, well, it's not going to happen anytime soon. And they said, why do you say that? And I said, because the Lord hasn't led me anywhere else. And they said, you believe that because you're here? I said, not just me, but I believe that as long as we have a foundation of faith and we're praying and believing God. Until he tells me otherwise, I believe we're going to be here. 20 years later, there's a man that retired, and he came up to me, and he wrote in his book, he said, I writing this date down. Sam Walker said this, and I can't wait till I get to walk up to him and shove this in his religion right in his face. Well, he came to me with tears, and he said, Philip, I want to thank you for not just caring about yourself, but my family also. He said, because I thought before I ever retired, I'd use this paper. He said, and here I am 20 years later getting to leave this place that they said was going to close. And I want you to know something. That may not be the case for us in every situation, but I got to tell you something. The Lord never told me it was going to close. And guess what? It's still in business today. And I want you to know something. The Lord is with us on a bigger scale than we think. And that's why I want to talk to you so much about what's coming out of our heart and what words we're speaking today, because we have more power and authority on what's going on in life and in our own life than we ever can imagine. Sometimes we think the power of the enemy is greater than the power of God in our life. Praise the name of the Lord. If we're not careful, we will think our attitudes and our mouth and the way we live is not related to the foundation of God's blessing and situation in our life. And I want you to know that we have to make sure that we never get to the point where we miscalculate or underestimate the power of God to work in our life, and why he wants so much for us to make sure that we're leaving a foundation that is filled with his ability to move on our behalf. Amen. You know, one of the foundational scriptures I always just carry in my heart is that of 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, where it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, I love that scripture because it always causes me to set myself in the middle of adversity. It always causes me to remind myself, hey, no matter how big my circumstances are getting right now, and no matter how difficult this situation looks right now, if I will remember that greater is he who's in me, then every voice, every imagination, every fearful thought has to fall before the feet of Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Remember that when it says that out of the abundance of the heart, I want you to know something, that our heart can be filled with several different things. One of those things our heart can be filled with is the experience, the disappointment, the rejection, the hurts that people and situations has brought into our life. I want you to know something. We cannot live forever bound to our past experiences. I want you to know something. At some point, as we're following God, we have got to believe that I am not what my past was. You know what? I don't have to believe that every person that's around me is going to become abusive and mean in their nature. I don't have to believe that every time I do something in the realm of finances, I'm going to end up going into bankruptcy instead of going into a place where I can see God's hand on my life. You know, at some point, we have to make sure that when we're walking in our relationship with God, even though we've had bad experiences, and I'm not discounting abuse, I'm not discounting addictions or even things that we've brought upon ourselves, I'm not discounting the impact of those things, but I'm saying at some point, we have to move that out and fill our heart with the Word of God. You know, I want you to know that especially today, it's critical that we don't let culture set our destiny or our future. You know, especially with social media, political agendas, things that are happening in today's world, we have to make sure that we don't allow those things to override the foundational truths and the biblical knowledge that God has revealed to us. I want to remind you that you're on a journey where you're not just interested in living in the present. Of course, we want to live in the present. In fact, the Bible says that I want to see the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. And I agree with that. But I also want to remind us that we are living in a life that we want to finish by ending up going to heaven through the blood of Jesus. Amen. And so we want to make sure that our heart is filled with the truth of God's word. Praise God. We've got to remember that we are precious and we are valuable. You know, if we're not careful, we'll allow the devil to give us an identity out of our yesterday. Well, you don't know how many times I've failed. You don't know how many times I've tried. I also want to remind you that no matter how many times you've tried and failed, remember the precious blood and the washing, cleansing water of the Word can give you a brand new start and a brand new foundation. That in Christ Jesus, we become a brand new creature, and in Him, we find our identity. Amen? I thank God that when I go to heaven, the Lord will not be looking at me as just Phil Walker by himself. Amen? Woo! When I go to heaven, He'll be looking at me through the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? The intercessor who will be declaring over me the goodness and the blessing and the benefit of His goodness on my life. Amen? Our Father in heaven sent us Jesus so we could have a firm foundation of making sure that we enter into Him in our relationship with Him through Jesus. Remember, the Lord says that I am the door, the way, and the life. Amen? So we want to make sure that out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth is speaking through the Word of God. This is why it's so critical in the Bible. It says, be slow to speak, quick to hear, but slow to speak. Why? Because I want to be alert to hear what's going on in my life. But I want to be slow to speak because I don't want to say something to you. I don't want to say something to the Lord. And I certainly don't want to speak out something that the devil hears that is clouded in fear, humanity, carnality, instead of the foundation of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Remember, the Bible says, whose report shall you believe? I shall believe the report of the Lord. And I want you to know something, that when we speak, we want to do our best to speak through the goodness of God and through the faith we have in His mercy and His goodness over our life. When we speak, we don't want to speak out of fear. Praise God. Hallelujah. When we speak, we want to speak out of the foundation of faith with our hearts open to the goodness of what the Lord has to say to us. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to go to the book of Romans just to lay a good foundation for where we're at and what we're discussing. And this should be very popular to you in the book of Romans chapter 10. The Bible says this in verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes, remember what's in your heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Praise God. You know, I'm glad that Miss Regina was so strong when I was weak in the beginning of our relationship and our journey towards faith in God. Because I got to tell you that I worked a job where I had to go to work on a Sunday, and Miss Regina went to church. Praise the Lord. And she got saved that day. And with good instruction, the pastor said, hey, now, as you have confessed the Lord here as your Savior, you need to go and tell somebody that you're saved. Praise the name of the Lord. So Miss Regina came to my job. And I'll never forget that. When she was walking towards me, I could tell she was in a good mood. She definitely looked different. She looked encouraged. She looked filled with joy. And she came up to me and said, honey, I got saved today. I said, you did not. And she went, yes, I did. I did get saved today. Praise God. Well, I've got to tell you something. That was not the best response I had. Amen. And I've learned over the years to do better. But what was so powerful is that once she made that confession, once she grabbed a hold of it, nobody could take it away from her. And I really believe that this is one of the foundational things that we need to carry into every aspect of our life. You know, sometimes it's so critical that we possess the faith that nobody can come up and tell us we're not saved. Nobody can take away our experience where we made that transition. And you know, I want to encourage you this morning to tell you this, that believing in your heart and making confessions is how you began your relationship with God. So why not remember that believing in your heart and making confessions is how you're going to continue your relationship with God? And I want you to know something, that just like you believe in your heart that you're saved through the blood of Jesus and the work of the cross, then I want you to know something, that we need to grab those foundational relationships and bring them into every aspect of our relationship with the Lord. I want you to know something, that when Regina goes to work, man, I just pray that she's filled with wisdom. That God gives her Holy Ghost supernatural ability to recall, to know, to be able to handle the situations that come across her life. Praise the Lord. And I also sneak a prayer in there that, Lord, you are still making that woman absolutely madly in love with me. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that she is just filled with love for her husband. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that I might get on her nerves, but never enough to make her so mad that she can't handle it, Lord. I thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you that you have to have an approach towards life where you are open and your heart is filled with believing and confessing the goodness of God. Amen? We're going to look in the Word of God, and we're just going to see a couple times where people went to the Lord and use this approach with him and walked right into seeing things that were just disastrous change and go a different direction than where they were headed. Praise the Lord. One of the places we're going to go is to Mark chapter 5, because it has several references there of these things happening that are very good. And it says in Mark chapter 5, verse 21, when Jesus was passed over again by ship into the other side, much people gathered unto him. And he was nigh unto the sea, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now, I want you to see something here. I think that Jairus' approach is very critical. Here he was, a well-off man, and in the middle of other people, he didn't care what they thought. He humbled himself before the Lord. It says he even fell at his feet. And I want you to know something, that he took no thought of what people around him thought or what people around him might say at his openness towards the Lord. And I really want to remind us today that we really have to humble ourselves and make sure that we're putting God first and we're asking him in every area to lead us. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, we're talking about healing right here, but I want you to know healing happens in many different ways in the Bible. We see the Lord do physical healing. We see the Lord cast out devils. We see the Lord do emotional healing. We see the Lord just doing healing in all kinds of places. We see the Lord giving people physical provision. Amen. And the things that they need. Hallelujah. And I just want you to know something, that it's so critical here that Jairus did not lose focus or lose hope, even when it looked like Jesus was distracted from the journey. Because Jesus said, hey, I'll go with you. And in the middle of him saying that, people were around him making a big crowd. And it even goes off for a minute here. And it talks about that there was a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said in her heart, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now I want to stop here just for a minute, because how did Jairus react to the fact that he's trying to get the Lord to come pray for his daughter? That's critical. That's his focus. And here the Lord can't even make it through the crowd. People are reaching out and grabbing a hold of him and holding him up. And Jairus had to wait in line, so to speak, for God to move. But here's what I also want you to remember. Here this woman is with an issue of blood for 12 years. You know, sometimes when we're asking the Lord for something, we can get disappointed in a day. We can get disappointed in a week. And I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be on a journey like this woman was, fighting over an issue of in her health for 12 years. But what's so powerful is that even though she had went to doctors, even though it says that she spent all her money trying to get better, what's incredible is that as soon as her heart opened up to faith in the Lord and the idea of him touching her, she did not let her circumstances and her experiences stop her from reaching out. What if she had made the decision that I spent all my money and I went to the best doctors, I'm no better, why in the world would I go any further to try to change my journey? Praise God. Thank goodness that she was stirred in her heart and in her faith to continue to pursue the Lord. And immediately she was made whole. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and saying thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You know, one thing I want us to remember is that it seemed that Jesus was busy with everybody. But it's amazing to me that when this woman touched him by faith, even in all the busyness, he was able to respond. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we will believe that we're too insignificant. We will believe that the Lord is too busy. But if Jesus, while he was on the earth, could discern in a big group of people who is reaching him by faith, how much more so can he discern when you're reaching out by faith? Praise the name of the Lord. Remember to open our heart and be available for God to move, because out of the abundance of our heart, let our mouth speak. This woman could have spoke anything, but she made the choice to speak. If I can just touch him, I will be made whole. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue. Now we're back to Jairus, remember? The man who went to him even before this lady did. And he said, yes, I'll go with you to your house. All of a sudden, we're back focused on Jairus the ruler. And someone from his house came and said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard that word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Praise God. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult, or the big grouping of people, and just all that was going on. And them that wept and wailed, wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. I want you to know something here, that this story represents so much of what the journey of faith is like for us. I want you to know something, that instead of getting better, the circumstances got worse, didn't they? I left her when she was sick in pursuit of the Lord, and suddenly now I'm getting a report that she's already passed. What's so powerful is that in the middle of this faith battle, this man had to make a choice. He could have stopped his pursuit, or he had to lean deeper into the Lord, even if it looked stupid to other people. I mean, the Lord arrives and says, hey, she's not gone yet. I'm going to pray for her. And people started laughing. Isn't it incredible that the Lord made a decision right at that moment? I'm going to clear this place of all this unbelief. I'm going to remove every voice that is speaking against what we're believing God for. I want you to know something, that sometimes in the middle of your faith journey, even some that are close to you will be speaking in a way that you're going to have to plug your ears and ignore that voice and lean in to what the Lord has to say. Amen? And here's what's so amazing. The Lord said that he removed everybody except for those who were in agreement that he brought with him, and the mother and the father, because he already heard what the father had to say. And I believe that it reflects the mother too, because she had to let her father go, her husband go, to find the Lord and to make this arrangement. I believe she was in agreement with him too. Amen? And he said, let us who are believing for this promise to go in and pray. And when he went in and prayed in that arena of faith, suddenly this girl who was supposed to be gone, the impossible happened, and she raised up. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, I could read the next couple verses because it references one of my favorite things. It says that not only did she walk, but they said, bring her something to eat. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember, I tell you all the time, that part of my faith journey was I was reading the Word of God, and I said, think about this. I don't have to be involved with violence anymore. I don't got to be involved with lying and meanness anymore. and look, the Lord made fish for his disciples on the seashore. I said, man, I get all this blessing and peace, and I get to eat too. Woo, salvation is for me. Amen. So I love the fact that they said, not only pick this little girl up and let her walk, but give her something to eat. Amen. Praise God. But what I'm telling you is that that was a great sign of how suddenly her destiny and her life was changed for the better and for the future. Because they kept their faith in the middle of an intense situation, and they watched what was coming out of their heart in the middle of that battle. The Lord said, only believe. I love it because another scripture, a man was believing God for the miraculous, and the Lord said, only believe. And the man said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. I want you to know something. Even when you don't think you have enough in you, trust the Lord. Praise God. Even sometimes when it looks way bigger than who you are, trust the Lord. I'm telling you, sometimes you just got to get to that place where you say, Lord, I don't understand. It doesn't look great. It doesn't look the best. But instead of going my way, I'm going to humble myself and go your way. Praise the name of the Lord. And the Lord will move on your behalf. I just want to challenge you right now. If you're going through a season that's been hard, if you're dealing with a sickness, if you're dealing with financial hardship, if you're dealing with relational struggles, whether it be with your spouse, your children, or with somebody else, a friend, whatever it is that's burdening your heart right now, I want to ask you two things. Number one, have you laid it at the feet of Jesus? And number two, are you speaking life or are you speaking death? Are you speaking nasty, arrogant, out of a hot-headed attitude and full of pride? Or are you coming with the humility to say, Lord, this is bigger than who I am. I'm not sure how to handle it. I'm trusting you with this situation, and this is what I'm believing. I'm believing for healing. I'm believing for restoration. I'm believing for peace, and I'm believing for life. Amen? Because the Bible says that when we're led by the Spirit, we'll walk into life. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to encourage you today. What is in the abundance of our heart? Have we been in the Word? Have we been in prayer? Do we have a scripture that's the foundational place of how we're fighting our battle right now? And if it's not, let's step into it. Amen? And if it is, let's stand strong on it. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, we exalt you, we lift you up, and we declare your glory, Father. I thank you right now, Lord, that you're just moving on our heart, Father. I thank you right now, Father, that you're just encouraging us, Father. Greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. And we're going to pursue you in your way of doing things, Father, so we can be blessed. And Lord, right now, I just pray for Amy, Father God. And Lord, in this health battle and these issues she's dealing with, God, we speak healing and life over her, Father. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you just release healing into her back, into her hips, into that shoulder area, God. And you bring restoration right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we put Jim before you, Father, and I thank you right now for the healing process that is taking place in him, Father. Lord, I thank you that he's already alleviated of pain, and he's even declaring that pain is alleviated. And Lord, I thank you now that the restoration and healing is finished and that it is fully restored in Jesus' name. Lord, right now, I speak healing over Mackenzie, Lord God. We put this dear, precious child before you, Father, and I just speak healing in the name of Jesus. Let every symptom and all sickness be removed from her and restored to health, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have a few more prayer requests here. Amen. Lord, we just agree with Crystal right now, Father God, that, Lord, you will just touch her family, Father. Lord, that you will just come in to every place, every circumstance, every situation, and, Father, you would just intervene within her family and bring healing, blessing, salvation, and your goodness, Father, and bring peace, and I thank you for it, in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we put Tanja's father-in-law before you, Father. And Lord, we thank you right now that, Lord, you deal with every health issue that he's battling with, Father. That you bring restoration, healing, and health. And Lord, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, we put Melissa before you and agree with her in prayer over her family, Father God. Lord, that God, whatever they have need of, Father, that you would supernaturally be involved and you would help them, Father. And Lord, you'd bring healing and you'd bring miraculous outcomes, Father. And Lord, I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know that I want you to go from here today being encouraged and making sure that our heart is open to what the Lord has for us. Sometimes we have to be patient in the journey. The Bible says, don't grow weary. Sometimes we have to take small steps, amen? But the Lord will be the light that guides our path, amen? Praise God. I thank you for being here. I want you to go and be blessed in the Lord. And if anybody needs prayer, we'll be available to pray with you. If there's anything you need agreement with, we'll pray with you. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you.